Good morning. Pretty loud. If you have your Bible with you, would you take it out, please, and turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse 13 here in just a moment. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. If you're visiting with us this morning, thank you so much for being here and taking the time out of your journey or out of your schedule or both. To be with us this morning. And if you happen to be with us and you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible provided there in the pew in front of you or maybe just behind you, one of those red Bibles. And if you would take that out, please, and turn to Luke chapter 24. You should find that on page 1039 in that little red pew Bible. That's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13, here in just a moment. So that's on page 1039 in that little pew Bible. You know, we have all probably had that stage in our spiritual development where we were looking, where we were searching for a closer connection to God. Maybe call it a mountaintop experience, if you will, where we feel close to God, where we desire with all our hearts to be like Him. Maybe even catch a glimpse of God, if you want to put it in those terms. Where our hearts burn within us with passion and love and a desire to be like God and to do His will. And my question this morning to begin with is very simple. Where do we have to go? Where do we have to journey in order to have an experience like that, to find God in this way? Maybe to a camp filled with young people, right? Where a lot of you maybe are traveling even this morning, and some of ours have already begun that journey to be there over the next week. Stephanie and I are going to be counselors at a camp like that here in just a couple of weeks. And I remember as a camper going to a spiritual environment like that with other young people who are trying to do what was right. And I remember what an awesome feeling that was. And I want to try and share that with other young people now as a counselor to be encouraged. And that's awesome. That truly is. But you don't have to go there in order for your heart to burn within you for God. Well, as we get older, what about going somewhere beautiful and awesome to see God's creation in the mountains of Colorado or to go stand at the rim of the Grand Canyon or at the edge of the ocean, or better yet, in a ship out in the middle of the ocean where all you can see on every side are the waves and the sky. Maybe you go to California and you stand under those redwoods that are a couple thousand years old and you see the grandeur of the Creator through the creation. Well, you certainly can get close to God in any of those places, but you don't have to go there for your heart to burn within you. What about to Israel? To the land promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and their descendants. Maybe you go out on a boat, a fishing boat in the Sea of Galilee. Maybe you stand on Mount Carmel where Elijah stood. Maybe you see the sun set over that ancient city of Jerusalem, or you stand in the Jordan River, or you stand on the Temple Mount. And it is a wonderful and humbling experience to walk where Abraham walked, where Jesus Himself walked, on the very stones where our Savior Himself stood. But you don't have to go there for your heart to burn within you. Well, what about on a road from Jerusalem to Emmaus? Indeed, we see here in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13, two disciples whose hearts burned within them. But I want to suggest this morning that it was not the where, it was not the physical location that caused this burning, this passion within them, but it was more correctly whom they were with. And perhaps most surprisingly, what they were doing, what they were talking about that caused their hearts to burn within them. If you're there in Luke chapter 24, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 13. This is on the Sunday after Jesus' crucifixion, the day that He was raised. And this is sometime in the morning after those events took place. And in verse 13 it begins, "Now behold, two of them, two of these disciples were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So a pretty good walk. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Here, the resurrected Jesus joins these two disciples as they're making their journey. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him, as it says in verse 16. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have said one to another as you walk and are sad?" Verse 18. Then one of those, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said to him, "Are you only a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Jesus replies, "What things?" as if he didn't know himself. So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all these things, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and a certain woman of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." So all they did was merely describe the events that we read about in the gospel. These things had happened this morning, and they were thinking to themselves, "What do we do with all of this? What does all of this mean?" So he said to them, this is Jesus' response, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Finally, after all this conversation, hours of discussing the scriptures together, it is revealed to them that this was Jesus, the resurrected Christ, all along. And I want us to pay particular attention to their reaction in verse 32. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us and with us on the open road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were there with them together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about all the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. So Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And these disciples said, "This is what made our hearts burn within us when he talked with us, when he showed us from the scriptures that all of these things from Moses and the prophets were pertaining to Jesus." I've got a very simple question for you. Do you want to see Jesus? You can. He showed himself to these two disciples long before they realized who he was physically. Though they didn't see him physically, he showed them himself through the scriptures. And their hearts burned within them long before they realized that this was Jesus in the flesh. And your heart can be made to burn within you wherever the Word is. Whether it is sitting here in these pews, your heart can burn within you. Or sitting in your own home, or walking in the way, or at work, or in a classroom, your heart can be made to burn within you. If you see Jesus as He reveals Himself in the Scriptures. It can happen in a classroom, on a college campus. When I was 18 years old, my first semester, my freshman year at Florida College, I was sitting in a classroom at 8 o'clock in the morning. The class was History and Geography of the Old Testament. Even the title sounds boring, doesn't it? And none of the conditions of that class would have lent themselves to my heart burning within me. At least not from a physical perspective. The teacher, he was not one of these people that we generally think that really connects with young people. You know, the young, hip guy that's pretty close to their age. No, he was an old, gray-headed man. And I'll be perfectly honest. He was a good teacher, he knew his stuff, but he was not particularly dynamic as a speaker, if you want to put it in those terms. He was not even particularly smooth of speech, if you want to think about it that way. He had this habit of taking his glasses off and chewing on the side of them as he talked, and he would kind of get caught in these vocalized pauses. He would go talking for a while, and then it would just kind of be like, you're like, spit it out. What are you going to say? He didn't try and connect with this room full of freshman teenagers like we would kind of expect. You know, he didn't try and be the cool, hip guy and use terminology like the kids use. He would have died to say, you know, this class is going to be so lit this morning or whatever silliness like that. You know, sometimes I do that with the high school kids back there just to see the eye rolls, right? Like, you do not understand. You did not get it. None of that. None of that from him. The physical environment certainly didn't lend itself to some emotional response. There wasn't a fog machine. The lights weren't dimmed down. There wasn't some background music playing that we might get ourselves whipped up. No, there were overhead fluorescent lights, and there we were sitting in our desks in rows as he lectured to us from the Old Testament. And I'll be honest, maybe I wasn't prepared really for my heart to burn within me. It was first class in the morning, 8 o'clock, after a late night the night before. And why do I know it was a late night the night before? Because every night my freshman year of college was a late night the night before. And so there I am, and I enjoyed the class, don't get me wrong. There was a sense in which I wanted to be there, but if you had come and given me a skip card that morning and said, you don't have to come to class this morning, I would have slept in a heartbeat. But he asked us to turn to Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham sacrifices Isaac. And he started expanding and expounding from the Scriptures, explaining how this sacrifice of Isaac was a shadow of what was going to come in Jesus. And he said, you know, God is not asking of Abraham here in this passage anything that he was not willing to do himself. And he would sacrifice his own son just as he asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And he began making these connections in his, frankly, non-passionate kind of clinical way. He started going down the list of all of the connections between Genesis chapter 22 and Jesus. And for the first time, even though this was material I had heard before, for the first time, I saw it. I got it. And I marveled that 2,000 years before Jesus walked on the earth, God was showing Jesus and what was to come. And I was writing as fast as I could, trying to get all of this down, trying to catch all of this. And as class was over and people start to get up to walk out of the class, I'm just sitting there dumbfounded. And I turn and I look at the person next to me, and I had one word. Wow! And they looked back at me. And they didn't say anything, but the look on their face said, "You weirdo, what's wrong with you?" And there in that classroom, my heart burned within me. Not because of all of these physical externals, but because the Word of God was working on my heart. I saw Jesus that morning. I saw Him in Genesis chapter 22. And once it is seen, it cannot be unseen. And I left that classroom that morning, not just understanding better the Old Testament and how it fits together and those sorts of things. I left that classroom that morning hungering and thirsting for more of that. More of Jesus. That I might be closer to Him. I was enthralled with this idea that Jesus had revealed Himself to me. And in the days that followed, I studied more, sure, but I also acted better. I acted more like a Christian ought to act. I prayed more. I cared more. I gave more. I worshiped more fervently. I was on fire for Christ. And I pray that that fire hasn't gone out. That my heart still burns within me when I go and I see Jesus revealed on the pages of this book. Well, what does this mean for you? How does this concern you? How does this affect your life and your relationship with Christ? Let me point out just two things from our text in Luke chapter 24, if you're still there. Number one, we need to be willing to listen to the way God speaks to us today. Notice there in verses 25, when Jesus responds to them, He said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets had spoken." Now Jesus, I assume, could have just revealed Himself to them. I don't know why their eyes were hidden. Maybe this was something miraculous. Maybe Jesus was just dressed in a different way that they were not used to seeing Him. I know that He was there bodily and physically with them. But Jesus certainly could have taken off His hood or whatever the case might be and said, "Look, I'm Jesus. I'm resurrected." And certainly they would have said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That certainly is what we were hoping for, perhaps." But He didn't. Instead, what He did is He asked them the question, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into His glory? Why are you surprised at these things? Why are you confused about them? You should have known these things." And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. You know, these disciples, they didn't get it yet. And Jesus does rebuke them for that. But this good thing they had, they were willing to listen. They walked with Him and listened for these 7 miles, not knowing it was Christ, but listening to the teaching about Christ. You know, there are so many people in this world who are looking for Christ, who are on a journey seeking Him, no doubt, but they're looking for Christ in all of the wrong places. He's right there in front of them, but like these disciples, they don't see Him. And maybe that applies to us. Maybe it applies to you sitting in the pew this morning that you want something else, that I want something else given to us, something to give us a subjective, emotional experience of Christ. Maybe we desire a small, still voice whispering in our ear from God Himself. Maybe we desire a deafening rock concert that will whip us up to feel God moving. Maybe we want the Holy Spirit miraculously revealing Himself to me personally. But none of those things are what God in His wisdom has chosen to give us. That's not the way He speaks to you and to me, not today. But sometimes we want Him to speak that way. And we say to ourselves, if only, right? If only God would give us something more than just the Bible. How are we supposed to reach anybody with just the Bible? Maybe we're falling to the trap of the rich man in Luke chapter 16, just a few pages back there in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 16, we'll start reading in verse 27, but to give you the context, going back to verse 19, Jesus gives this example of our life now versus the life to come, of a rich man who had all of these great things and a poor man named Lazarus, and he wished that he could just eat the crumbs off of this rich man's table. Well, they die and the rich man goes to torments. And this poor man Lazarus, he is taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And there is this great divide between them and this rich man. He is in misery. He is in torments and he wishes Lazarus could just come and put a drop of water on his tongue. But Abraham speaks to him and says, no, that's not the way this works. You had your chance, and now all of these things are sealed. All of these things are done. And so this rich man, he thinks back to his family still on earth, and he says to himself, no doubt in this passage, well, my chance is over, but what about those that I love? They still have the opportunity. They still have a chance. And so he says in verse 27, then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him, that is Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he might testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He says, I don't want them to come here. Send Lazarus, that he might tell them all this stuff that's happening. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Exactly the things that Jesus expounded from the books of Moses, the books of prophecy. And Abraham says, they've got the Scriptures. And that's enough. Well, the rich man did exactly what I think we would do in that situation. He said to them, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, then they will repent. If something miraculous were to happen, then they will repent. Then they'll turn from their ways. Then they'll see Christ. Then they'll want to do what's right. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Here is where Christ is found. This is all we need to see Christ. And if you're looking for something supernatural to reveal Christ for you, here it is. This is a supernatural document that foretold and foreshadowed Christ thousands of years before He came. You want your heart to burn within you? You want to really see Jesus? Find Him here, where He may be found. And on the top of a mountain, at the bottom of a valley, or anywhere in between, if we have the Scriptures, our hearts can be made to burn within us. Look for Christ in the things concerning Himself. Well, what was their reaction to this? What was the reaction of these men in Luke chapter 24? When their eyes are opened and they see Jesus, they see Him physically, and He disappears from their sight, what do they do next? Well, in verse 33, we see, they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. They said to Jesus, look, the evening time has come. Why don't you just stay here with us? You know, you don't want to travel any further tonight. But when they saw this, they said, you know what, maybe we can travel 7 miles back to Jerusalem. And that's exactly what they did. And we need to take a lesson from them. When our hearts burn within us, when we see Jesus, we need to be quick to share it with others, just as they were. A burning heart makes us want to share that experience. Makes us want to share it with believers, right? I want to share it with others whose hearts are burning within them as well. I want to come and worship with them. I want to talk with them about spiritual things. I want to walk with them doing spiritual things. I want to encourage them and be encouraged. That's the fellowship that I desire. And that's the fellowship that we can have with one another. You ever been with somebody who, every time you're with them, all they can seem to talk about, well, maybe not all, sure, they can talk about politics, they can talk about sports, they can talk about these other things, but what it seems they always want to talk about are spiritual things. That's someone whose heart is burning within them, and that's the kind of people we want to be around, that's the kind of people we want to be, so that we all might serve and worship our God together. I want that fellowship with you. Don't you want it with one another as well? And if our hearts burn within us, coming together to worship God will not be a drudgery. It will not be a requirement to be checked off a list. It'll be something that we are quick to do because it's something that we love to do. Well, we don't just share it with believers. We need to share it with the world too, right? One final passage and the lesson will be yours. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. This is in the midst of, depending on how you categorize them, seven or eight parables that Jesus told concerning the kingdom of heaven. And these are really the beginning of His teaching in parables to divide the soft of heart who want to know God from the hard of heart who don't want to know God. And He describes this kingdom as a sower who goes out to sow in a field, as wheat and tares that rise up together, and as a number of different things. But we see two very short parables in verse 44 and then 45 and 46. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when they had found one pearl of great price, went in and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, this describes two different kinds of people. You know, there's some people out there, they don't even know they need Jesus. They don't even know that the treasure is there. But if we can share it with them, they'll recognize it for what it is, and they'll want it. Even more, there are other kinds of people like this merchant. They're looking everywhere for Jesus. They want to find Him. They want a relationship with Him. They know they're missing something, and they want to have it. And if we share the true gospel with them, they'll desire it, and they'll come to it too. There are still people who value the treasure that is the gospel of the kingdom. But what do these two people who seem very different, what do they have in common? They both need to be exposed to the treasure. They both need to see it. They need to see it in us as we live it every day of our lives. And they need to view it as a treasure, that they have joy and peace and contentment despite their circumstances. That this is real for him. These are no hypocritical Christians living one way around spiritual people and another way around the world. These are true disciples of Jesus, and I want what they have. But even more, they need to hear it from us. That we're willing to share and proclaim our faith in this gospel. If you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian, can I be perfectly honest with you? I hope you didn't expect the preacher to be lying to you, but I want to be honest with you. Maybe you're visiting here at Timberland Drive for the first time, and you're wondering to yourself, what does this group of believers, this group of Christians have to offer? Well, I'll be honest, we don't offer a lot, quantity-wise, compared to other churches. Not many programs to be found. There's no gym or kitchen hidden back there somewhere. There's no real entertainment when it comes to our worship. There's no formal babysitting services or other social programs like that. But what we do offer is a great treasure. Not a physical one, but a spiritual one. We offer the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what we're about. Serving God in simplicity. Trying to be Christians, and just Christians, whose hearts burn within us with a desire to be like our God, to know about our God, to serve our God, and to someday go and be with our God. This is what makes our hearts burn within us. This is our passion. This is our life. And I pray that that is something that appeals to you, that you see that as a treasure that is more precious than gold that perishes, and that you're willing to do whatever it takes in order to get that treasure. You're willing to go and sell all that you have that you might obtain something of lasting and eternal value. You're willing to submit yourself to Jesus Christ in whatever way He requires, that you might know Him, that you might be found in Him, and someday you might hear from Him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we can help you in coming to Christ even this morning, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing? Lord Jesus,